As believers, we have the blessing of being beneficiaries of 2,000 years of church wisdom and teaching and understanding, coming to a much deeper awareness of what Christ is speaking of and how it impacts our lives as believers. For example, when Jesus first started talking about the Eucharist in the 6th chapter of St. John, people were scandalized by that and didn't know what to do with it. I mean, here you have people who wouldn't even use the blood of an animal for their cooking for fear of ingesting the blood and becoming one with the animal. And here you've got this rabbi from Nazareth saying, if you want to have eternal life, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. That was repulsive to them. Even many of the apostles didn't understand it fully until Jesus would take them off aside and explain it to them, and they saw it in its fullness of the Last Supper, when Jesus took the bread and wine, saying, this is my body, this is my blood, to the point that we see St. Luke describing the two disciples that are coming back from Emmaus who recognize the presence of Jesus in the breaking of the bread in the Eucharist. So it was, if you tried to explain the doctrine of the Trinity to the first century believers, they understood that God was one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And here you have Jesus speaking on the fact that he is in the Father and the Father is in him, but yet they're two distinct persons. It's understood in the Gospels that at the baptism of Jesus, the Father is in heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus is in the Jordan River, and of course the Holy Spirit is descending on Jesus in the form of a dove. We see the image of the Trinity, but that doctrine is not fully understood until much later, but now we understand it. But the roots of it are what Jesus is talking about today. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. The Father who dwells in me is doing his work in me. This is true of Christ and the Father. We also know that the love exchange between God the Father and Jesus his Son is what we call the Holy Spirit. It's what binds the three persons together, while we can speak of one God, that God is a community of persons made one by complete mutual self-giving love. It's that same love of the Father and Son poured out on you and me in baptism. We have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in confirmation that draws you and me into the life of the Trinity so that we live, as St. Paul says, no longer ourselves, but Christ lives in us as members of his body, the church. We're drawn into that life in baptism. We become one with Christ in the Eucharist. We're filled with the Holy Spirit to be the body of Christ in the world. And we have a purpose to fulfill, to be sanctified and to sanctify the world. As Jesus says, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father, but I'm sending the Holy Spirit to do his work in you and to do his work through you. That we are to be Christ to the world. Now, Father Gilroy and I will often get asked by people, what's your job as a priest? What are you supposed to do? Now, the word job doesn't exactly fit in the vocation of the priesthood, but we can talk about that. What is the main purpose? Why did Jesus choose apostles, and what is our main purpose of existing as bishops and as priests? Well, our main job, those of us in holy orders and the episcopacy and the priesthood, is quite simply to preach the gospel. That's number one. Main job we have is to preach the gospel, to teach the faith, and of course with that to celebrate the sacraments. Celebrate Mass, all the other sacraments that the Church has given us. And we're there to counsel and direct souls, leading them toward God. That's our primary function. Everything else becomes secondary. But in order to do these things and to do them well, as Christ would intend us to do, then it takes time and preparation. We have to be men of prayer. And through our prayer, through our meditation, through quiet and solitude, We allow ourselves to be open up to the Spirit of God, who uses the graces of ordination to do His work in us and through us. The bishop, the priest, must be in a frame of mind and a frame of soul to be able to do the works of Christ the head. That's why we see in the first reading the apostles who have a dilemma. Problems in the church are nothing new. They've been there since the very beginning. And so you've got the apostles trying to do this very thing, to celebrate the sacraments, to preach the gospel, and you have the Greek-speaking widows who are complaining because they feel neglected and they're not being treated as well as the widows who speak Hebrew in the daily distribution of the needs. So the apostles get together and they said, it's not right for us to neglect the word of God to serve at table. So they chose 7 men of excellent reputation, men filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and these men will be appointed to the task of taking care of the poor and the sick, the needy. We'll devote ourselves to prayer and ministry of the word. They take care of the ministry of service. And we have the names of the first 7 deacons of the church. The word deacon comes from the Greek word diakonia, which means service, to be of service. And we see the first ordination of these deacons taking place. These men are presented to the apostles, who pray over them and laid hands on them. And through this combination of the preaching of the gospel of the apostles and the service of the deacons, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly. Even a large group of Jewish priests were becoming obedient to the faith as they saw the word and the deed coming together. The secondary work of the priest, as a priest, and really and truly for all of us as faithful, as Christians, is to have a share in the diakonia. Every Christian, by virtue of baptism, shares in the priesthood of Christ. We all know that. And we also share in that spirit of service, that we too, as Jesus taught us, are there to feed the hungry. We're there to give drink to the thirsty, to clothe the naked, to house the homeless and care for the sick and suffering. Those who are poor, those who are widowed, those orphans. In a word, you and I are there to help those who quite simply cannot help themselves. Now, sometimes it's a pleasurable thing to do that. More often than not, it isn't. And it's not supposed to be easy to do this kind of work. In fact, most of the time, it's very difficult, or it becomes just plain inconvenient. It can be annoying because the poor and the sick, the needy, take our time. They take our resources. They take us out of our way sometimes, or even take us out of our comfort zone. But when you look at it, that's the whole essence of Christian life, is that we are there to offer a sacrifice. And sacrifice is not supposed to be easy. When you look at the work of a priest, as I said, that's our primary function in preaching the word of God, but offering the sacrifice of the Mass. The ordained priest offers the sacrifice of Jesus on Calvary to give his body and blood to the faithful. But the common priesthood, that's all of us together, are there to offer that sacrifice. And just like a priest who needs to be a man of prayer to do the offering well, every one of us has to do the same thing, to be people of prayer, offering God, first of all, a sacrifice of prayer, a sacrifice of praise, of worship, but then couple that with the sacrifice of service, to do the works of Christ. If we are believers, and we are, then we have to be different. We must be different, and in that difference to make a difference. And it's all done through love. We are the ones who have received what Christ has shown us. He has shown us the way to the Father, and it is through Him. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. He wants us to come to follow that way, to follow His example, to follow the words that He gives us, to believe the truth that He taught us and continues to teach of the truth, and to live that life of prayer, that sacramental life, that life of being in union with the Trinity, that we can have life and have it in its fullness, and at the end of our journey here, to enjoy the fullness of life with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit forever. No one, Jesus says, comes to the Father except through Me. We're called to preach that truth, to live in that truth, believe in the truth. We have been shown the way to the Father. We are to show the way to the Father. It is through love, It is through self-sacrifice, being a people who do not take, but rather a people who receive from God, and in that receiving give, and give freely. Like Christ, like the apostles, we are to endure hardship for the sake of the gospel. Life is not meant to be easy, but we endure these hardships gladly because what we do for Christ. Let no man trouble me, St. Paul says, for I bear the marks of Jesus in my body. As Christ offered his life and suffers, we offer our lives that others might live. With Christ, we trust in the Father, and we do so with faith. We heard St. Peter tell us in the second reading, Beloved, come. Come to him. Come to Christ, who is a living stone. Christ, who was rejected by human beings, but chosen and precious in the sight of God his Father. And like Christ, like that first living stone, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house. That spiritual house being the church, the body of Christ, where Christ dwells here on earth. Be built into that spiritual house to be a holy priesthood and to offer those spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ his Son. It is of value for you who have faith to do this. You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are called by God to be a holy nation, to be a people totally his own, of his own, that you may announce the praises of him who has called